Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for thy word. We pray that the same Holy Spirit who gave it will enlighten our hearts to receive it, to increase our faith in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you remember last time, the Lord was accused by the Jews because he healed a man on the Sabbath and told him to carry his mat. And so he is speaking with the Jews as we continue in the second half of this chapter. And this is an account of our Savior's defense of who he is as the divine Messiah. The defense he's giving to those who refuse to accept him as the Christ. Begin in verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Christ is not saying here literally that any witness he made of himself wouldn't be true, but he's saying they wouldn't believe it. They wouldn't think it's true. A person can give a perfectly honest and true witness of himself, but still it will arouse suspicion if he's giving defense of himself. If you told a bunch of strangers you're a very honest person, they would probably just be suspicious of you. But if all your neighbors said you're a very honest person, that would be different. So Jesus is saying, I won't bear witness of myself. This reminds me of my grandfather used to say, if somebody is trying very hard to convince you what an honest person he is, keep an eye on your watch and wallet. So Jesus says, I'll call other witnesses. And the first one he calls is God the Father. There's another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. The other that bears witness of Jesus is his Father in heaven. When he was baptized, there was a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Jews know that God cannot lie. His witness is infallible. And so they can't contradict the testimony of God. He sent unto John and he bear witness unto the truth. The temple officials sent messengers to question John, if you remember. And John testified when he had baptized Jesus, the heavens opened and he saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And God had told him, the one on whom you see the Holy Spirit come is the Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. Jesus is not discounting John's testimony. He's just saying he doesn't need it. He doesn't need testimony from man. He is who he is. He always has been. And John's testimony didn't add anything to who he is. But he says, these things I say that you might be saved. They regarded John as a prophet. So he's telling them they should consider what he told them. He was a burning and a shining light. And you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Jesus didn't say that he didn't need John's testimony in order to discount that testimony. He's just saying he didn't need it. But he didn't want to lessen John in their thoughts. So he says he was a burning and a shining light. He was the greatest of the prophets. They rejoiced in him for a season. They were very excited about John. They thought he was a Messiah, or he was at least Elijah. But when John indicated that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah, their ardor for him cooled. This carpenter from Nazareth is the Messiah, the King of Israel? a humble carpenter. But you know what? They could have considered their greatest king, David, was a humble shepherd, which is even lower on the social scale. A carpenter was a skilled artisan. Shepherds were at the bottom of the social scale, and he became king of Israel, their greatest. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. He doesn't say I have a truer witness than John's, but I have a greater witness, and that's the works that I do, that the Father has given me. He healed the sick. He opened blind eyes. He made the dumb to speak and the deaf to hear. Cleansed the lepers. Cast out demons. Ordered the waves and wind to cease, and they obeyed him. Walked on the sea. He raised three men from the dead. Now some have argued, well, there were prophets who did such works, like Elijah, which is true. But there's a significant difference between Christ and the prophets. The prophets had to pray to God that God would do the miracle. Jesus did the miracles himself. Jesus had the power in himself to work miracles. Remember when the woman with the issue of blood 12 years touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed because virtue went out of him. Another difference with the prophets, they had no ability to transfer the miraculous workings to others. Jesus did. When he sent the 70 out, he gave them power to heal the sick and to cast out demons. The power of God was in Jesus himself. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice, nor any time seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, ye believe not. He's saying, for all their religious zeal, and it was considerable, they didn't know God. The Father bore witness of Jesus at his baptism. The Old Testament prophets bore witness of him. The Jews were deeply steeped in God's word, and they didn't know God. The proof they didn't have God's word abiding in them is they didn't believe the word of Christ. And the word of Christ and the word of the Old Testament come from the same God. So if they reject God's word in Jesus, they've effectively rejected God's word in the Bible, though they claim to believe it. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. The Jews did indeed search the scriptures, and this means, of course, the Old Testament, the New Testament, hadn't been written yet. The Old Testament Jewish scriptures spoke of Christ. They thought they had eternal life because they had the scriptures. Scriptures gave them the commandments, and if they just kept the commandments, which they foolishly thought they were doing, they'd have eternal life. But the Old Testament didn't say that. How was Abraham saved? First, he wasn't saved as a Jew. He was saved as an uncircumcised Gentile. He was saved. He wasn't saved by keeping commandments. He was saved by faith. Keeping commandments is what we should do, but the problem is what happens when you break one. Then you need a Savior. That's how you get eternal life. Old Testament scriptures spoke of Jesus. That's why it's so important to be people of the whole Bible, not just the New Testament. I receive not honor from men. But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Jesus says he's not interested in seeking the honor of men. And he doesn't depend on the testimony of persons. But he understands why they fail to honor him. They don't have the love of God in them. And how does he know that? All things are naked and open unto him with whom we have to do. He searches the thoughts and intents of every person's heart. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Jesus comes in his Father's name, and they reject him. Others will come in their own name and be enthusiastically received. False prophets, false teachers, false messiahs. No fewer than 64 false Christs rose up at that period and were followed by great multitudes, usually in armed rebellion against the Romans, and were swiftly slaughtered. How could ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? They love to receive the applause and honor of men, but they didn't receive the honor that comes from God. And this isn't just ancient history. There are many religious leaders today that receive great honor from men and won't ever from God. They have their private jets. They have their big television shows. They live in palaces. And they preach a false gospel. And this present pope is the most popular pope in a long time. It's because he's so liberal. He was asked, what about homosexual priests? He said, who am I to judge? Really? You're clergy and you can't judge a sinner? And he's recently said there is no hell. No hell. No wonder he's popular. I don't expect God to honor him. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Well, Jesus is on a mission to seek and to save lost sheep of Israel. So he says, I won't accuse you. Not at this time. When he comes to judge the quick and the dead, he will accuse all who have died in their sins. He says, nevertheless, there's one right now who accuses you. Moses. Because Moses wrote of me. And you reject me. If you had really believed Moses, Jesus said, you believe me, because Moses wrote about me. Well, this concludes our Lord's account of the divine witness to himself as Messiah. He's called three witnesses, the Father, who has declared he's his beloved Son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. The witness of his miracles, which come from his own person, attest to who he is. And the witness of the Old Testament scriptures testify of Jesus Christ, that men should come to him to receive eternal life. Let us pray. Indeed, O Lord, the proof of who thou art is irrefutable. And we do pray that we may have an ever-increasing strength of faith in who thou art and what thou art. In thy holy name we pray. Amen.